When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Oh yeah, it's back.
Cue up the music.
This is the NBA on NBC. Tonight, it's the Houston Rockets versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. Welcome to American Express, NBA tip-off.
Those championship rings, the shimmering, shining, forever symbols of reaching the mountaintop, they've been handed out. The banner has been raised to remind all who enter of what happened here last year. But now, it's time to turn the page. Begin the quest again with a familiar friend in town. It's the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder to get the season underway here in OKC. And speaking of familiar, we welcome you back to the NBA on NBC.
Mike Breen could never. NBA back on NBC and Round Ball Rock and all of it. Great stuff by NBC in their presentation. Great game that we'll get to, but I got to admit, while I have talked quite a bit about being excited that the NBC brand is back associated with the NBA, it still hit. It still hit hearing the music, hearing the lead up. Bob Costas used to do it. Marv Albert used to do the little lead up until they had that first shot of the guys at the game. Mike Tirico, kudos to you. And I got to say it, I am one of the people who's going to fit into this category I'm about to mention. But if you did not get to root on your favorite team as they were going on a finals run while NBC had the broadcast rights, you missed out. You missed out because what we get now from ESPN, they have made the personalities more important than the game. And I'm not even talking about the basketball personalities or the narratives that they want to push. The fact that Stephen A. Smith can be shown walking into the arena like he is, at least at the time with NBC, Michael Jordan. Like, I got a full-on look of Stephen A. Smith's fit right before an NBA game. This is what you're focusing on. And I saw a Celtics account very pissed off that last year, he mentioned it, because he saw the Oklahoma City Thunder get their full-on presentation of the rings and the banner going up. He mentioned that last year when the Celtics won it, they cut to commercial as the banner was going up. That's what ESPN did. So this is what we're talking about. It might have been TNT. I don't remember who had that game.
It was TNT.
It was TNT.
TNT normally gets
it. It was TNT. So this is what we're talking about, the lack of presentation around NBA games, the fact that last night, the first game of the regular season, now it did feature two title contenders and including the defending champion, and it was opening night. We'll see if it hits the same in the middle of February. But they treated the game like a big deal. They understood the importance of coming back the way they did, and they were rewarded with a great game. So all of it came together for a shining night, at least for the first game. I didn't take much of a look at the Warriors-Laker game. I got to go to bed, and I don't care about those two. They're not even really rivals. I mean, they've never played in any consequential, meaningful games. It's just that they have LeBron and Steph on the team. Of course, LeBron didn't play. Luka had a great night, but Jimmy Butler got to the free throw line a lot, and the Warriors won that one. But to the Rockets, they lose to the Thunder in a game I won't say controlled, because the Thunder were always in striking distance, but the Rockets had that game kind of going their way. Their double big lineup produced offensive rebounds. They scored off those offensive rebounds. Of course, their defense led to offense. The offense itself, still a little herky-jerky. And while we thought the double big lineup was something that they would do to simply take advantage of that matchup, my takeaway from that is, from the game at least, is maybe the double big is a necessity, because I'm not sure, particularly if Aaron Holiday is not going to play, that they have a guard they can depend on to get them in offense. I don't want to trash Reed Shepard from the start, because he's not the most important player or the most important point from the game, but you can see why they rather have the giant lineup in Amen Thompson being their shortest player, when we saw Reed Shepard, who is not someone who thrills in passing the basketball, at least not in a half-court set. So we'll get to that. But the game itself, Alperen, Eurobasket did him some good. He looked great. Look, I don't expect him to be shooting at that type of level from beyond the arc, but he had a great night shooting the basketball. And because of the double big lineup, he punished Oklahoma City bigs, getting him in the foul trouble. They both fouled out, and then eventually he wound up on Alex Caruso late in the game and punished him as well. It was not a coming out party. A lot of people know that Alperen Şengün's a really good player. But if we're talking about the leap that could be made, where you go from, you know, we're going to, in some ways, jokingly call him Baby Jokic because you see the potential, but you know there's only one Jokic, then you can maybe we just refer to him as Alperen Şengün if he's going to play that way. He was the best player on the floor until late in the fourth quarter, where the MVP got going,
yeah,
and brung the Thunder back, and they eventually win that game. But as far as shining stars from the Rockets, Alperen takes a cake. I don't know what level he can reach, because we were wondering, at least I was, how good can he be? He was an all-star last year. Can he be a guy who's threatening for one of the all-NBA teams at that spot? If this is any indication, and he's going to not just be motivated by the occasion and be a guy who you can look to be a 28-12 guy, whatever he averages out to be throughout the course of the year, then we have to start having a different conversation about him. That was an outstanding performance against a great team who as good defensively as they are, I think if you're going to take advantage of anything, it's as the old heads would say, Chet's lighting the loafers as far as a weight. I mean, there's another way people use that term, but I'm not using it that way. He doesn't have a lot back there as far as
I know he dresses.
Yeah, weird, that's not what I meant. Okay. He's a little light. Maybe I'll use a different phrase, because now that I think about it, lighten the loafers means something else.
Lighten the shorts?
Lighten the – maybe, possibly, but that might feel insulting as well. He needs to get his weight up, I'll say, if he's going to try to defend Alperen Şengün. Like, Chet had a great night as well offensively, but you can see there's just a physicality difference when Alperen wants to go at you, and he did that to other players as well.
If they didn't literally get their championship rings before the game, I would be like, I'm not sure if you can win a championship having – to put Alex Caruso on a center or a center-sized offensive threat. But they actually did that against Jokic and won a championship.
Sure.
So, yes, you can do that. But it is just like, you watch the game, you're like, how is Alex Caruso the guy that they're like, has to guard Shingun in all the key spots. And, you know, I guess it worked. I mean, he made him work for it, you know, but he still had 39 points. But that struck me as odd because they also start 2 7-footers.
Yes. And as while you're talking, I'm Googling. Yeah, I should have said the light loafers thing.
No.
I know what I meant, but that but the phrase itself means something completely different. So Chet's light. Let's just say that as far as NBA big men go. He's thin.
He's 7 foot. He's over 7 foot. And I'm just going to say well under 200 pounds.
If you don't think he's like 210 or something?
I mean, he might be listed at like 205 or something. What is he? He's listed at 208. No way.
Maybe at a weigh-in before the year begins, but exactly. You lose weight as the season goes on. A lot of guys do. He probably does. I don't know if he's 208. I don't think he'll be 208 in February. But either way, he was good.
He was awesome.
Alpi was better.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough for several reasons. The turnovers were a problem. They commit 22. Now it's through, 58 minutes of basketball with the two overtimes.
Yeah.
But too many turnovers. You don't really have anyone in your backcourt who can initiate offense. So I don't know. Well, there are a couple of things. First of all, no one's going to defend you in the same way that OKC does. Even without Jalen Williams, that they are dogs. They will harass you throughout. So we can take that into account when we evaluate what happened last night. I just don't know if I want Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün having to initiate offense as much as they had to last night because of no real trust in someone in the backcourt. Now, Amen fits the profile because of how they started, but if Aaron Holiday is not going to play, it doesn't appear that you should, at least through game one, caveats, all that, should be trusting Reed Shepard to initiate offense because it feels like if the pass isn't there, it's go time for Reed Shepard. He's going to try to create for himself. He didn't shoot the ball well last night, made a couple threes, banked one in, 28 minutes played. We will see in games that don't go to double overtime how many minutes he gets. And, of course, when Amen leaves the game, there are more minutes for Reed Shepard to play.
And really, you could almost see Ime Udoka like do the math on like when Amen Thompson started cramping up of him being like, God, I really cannot put Tari
Eason. Tari didn't play well either last
Tari
night.
Eason was just as bad.
Yeah.
Tari Eason was probably the worst guy on the court last night.
Yes.
Which is tough. Considering what we've talked about him for the last 24 hours.
Yeah, it was not a good start to the, hey, I'm better than what you think I am campaign
I saw a lot of talk of, man, whatever the Rockets were offering, you probably should have taken it.
Yeah, but we will.
Again, toughest test of the season.
Yes, this is the best team on a night they really wanted to win.
Cason Wallace is like the fourth best perimeter defender on the other team. That's not something you're going to see your next game against Sacramento or whoever.
It's going to be a lot easier. It'll be the Pacers. No, that's what OKC plays. Yeah, Sacramento.
I think it's Pistons next, right?
I will look that up. Either way, to your point, it is the Pistons. And you know what we miss out on? The Jalen Cade rivalry's done. There's none of that anymore.
That's why it's not national TV.
Yeah, we don't get that.
The token when both teams are winning 20 games every season. It was just like, well, we got to give them a national TV game. Cade versus Jalen on a Friday night.
The Amen Asur thing doesn't hit the same.
Yeah, whatever.
But you got a playoff team in the Pistons against a title contender in the Rockets. So Space City Home Network will get their broadcast year going.
I can't wait for that intro.
I don't think it'll be the same.
It'll be so nostalgic for me.
No, I doubt it. I don't even know what their music sounds like, to be honest with you. Don't know what it sounds like, but
I don't either. Now that I think about
it. It's not iconic like Round Ball Rock, and
not yet. At least
I don't know if local music becomes iconic at any.
Well,
point.
I guess FS or what was it? FSN Southwest. That's what I actually grew up on.
Sure,
but no, I don't think
you don't get the little goosebumps when you hear Craig Ackerman come on with Ryan Hollins.
I mean, Ackerman's awesome. I do enjoy Ackerman, but no, not quite to Goosebumps, Bob Costas introing the finals level.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. As I was trying to find that sound for this morning, I got into this NBC intro rabbit hole of watching some of their classic intros. Bob Costas certainly played a part in that.
Pacers or not Knicks Bulls ones were just like, you can tell they put a little extra sauce on it.
Definitely. So
I looked up to see if they broadcast the finals this year. They don't.
It still remains an ESPN thing, which is unfortunate.
But that's what I can say to NBA on NBC is that after the game, I was like, man, are they going to do the finals?
We will see if ESPN responds to the presentation they saw and will they try to match it, because there is a clear difference in how NBC treated their game.
They made the expressed effort, you could tell, to talk about the game itself.
Yes.
To talk about Jamal Crawford reacting to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's crossover. And that was what they were interested in. Reggie Miller was pretty good last night. That's crazy that he didn't seem completely out of his mind like he does when he was on TNT.
Sure.
So I think no narratives talk. It was a real ball knowers halftime and I guess commentary.
We have not mentioned the name Kevin Durant. He played a part.
Like Reed Shepard, are looking off Kevin Durant.
Multiple times. Yeah. People think, are they going to get to him in the timeout? No, we're not going to talk about it at all. We will get to that when we come back. Kevin Durant spoke about some of the late game stuff, from his missed free throw that would have given them a three-point lead to the timeout. Oh, actually, he didn't mention the timeout. To the foul that gave the Thunder the winning free throws. Also, we will hear from the guy on the other side, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He was on the floor when that timeout wasn't called, or at least it wasn't acknowledged. We heard from the referees, at least through the pool reporting, that it wasn't given a technical. He wasn't given a technical for it because no referee saw it before time expired. That was their explanation for it. We'll hear from a player on the opposing team and his thoughts, as everyone in the arena and everyone watching was like, wait a minute, he just called a timeout and they don't have any timeouts. That's a technical. Aren't the Thunder going to win the game? And the refs were like, no. Kirby Smart's like, see? See? It happens.
I firmly believe, just like Kirby Smart got away with it because he's Kirby Smart, I think Kevin Durant kind of got away with it because he's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
If that's still Jalen Green, tee his ass off.
Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City calling a timeout, that would have cost his team the win.
We talk a lot about superstar calls, especially given the guy that they're playing against.
Yeah.
That's a superstar call right there.
So while he didn't get the technical, he did get called for a foul. It was a legitimate foul that led to the SGA free throw. So we'll get more into Kevin Durant's night and hear from him when we come back. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. The NBA is back. The Rockets drop a game against the best team in basketball. They're going to be pretty good, too. We'll talk more about that. But before we get to that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And man, oh man, it's game one for the Rockets. It's game one for Prize Picks. And you could hardly tell because their point projection for Kevin Durant was 23.5. He scored 23. And that's even with Reed Shepard refusing to pass to him for some reason. Then Amen Thompson, his PRA, points, rebounds, assist, his projection, 27.5. He finished with 27. It is on the mark for, I mean, the farthest one they're off was Steph Curry. Max discount of 0.5 of a point went way over. But the Amen Thompson cramps and the other four Rockets on the court not realizing Kevin Durant is Kevin freaking Durant, that is what makes me a loser last night like the Rockets. But the beauty with Prize Picks, there's always another game. There's always another player projection to get in on. And the NBA action starts really in full tonight with I think basically every other team that didn't play last night in action. Of course, you got the early looks at the football weekend, whether it's college football or Thursday night football in the pros. You can do it on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
ESPN 97. 5.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Kevin Durant's official debut was going pretty good for three quarters, and then he stopped getting the basketball. At one point, they showed him his shot. It was in a chart, but the number of shots he had taken through the first three quarters, and then in overtime plus the fourth quarter, he was one for one. So they stopped getting him the basketball. It didn't lead directly to the loss, but a lot of the conversation online was, didn't you get Kevin Durant for these situations? Why is Reed Sheppard going at great defenders as opposed to getting the ball to Kevin Durant? That was a question, and it was a bad day online for Reed Sheppard. He was getting cooked by anyone and everyone, and that includes some of the Thunder, which was a bit of a problem. The smallish defender who wasn't having a good shooting night was pressed into service because Amen Thompson was hurt, and the Thunder went at him as often as they could. And sometimes it's not even the guy who gets by Reed Sheppard. It's him not being able to hold up and compromising the entire defense, and that leading to open shots for others as other guys try to compensate. So it wasn't a great night for him, and it wasn't a great overtime, well, two overtime periods for Kevin Durant. He missed free throws, as we talked about, and then he got called for the foul. So let's hear from Kevin Durant on his mistakes. He talked about it and took accountability for what went down last night.
What do you think was kind of the defining moment of this game?
I missed a free throw and I fouled somebody at the end. Fouled Shea, put him up one. I think those two plays, the reason we lost.
That bad to you?
Yeah. I got to be better. I got to knock that free throw down. I got to stay down and be more disciplined. Those opportunities to get a stop, to seal the game, they don't come around too often, so I got to be more, take more advantage of those.
You'll take that from him. He said, that's on me. I missed my free throw, and I fouled him. And it's game one, and Kevin Durant stood up there and said, well, at least he was in the locker room and said, I made a mistake. He did not get asked, at least there, about the timeout. I don't know if that came later. We'll hear from Shea Gilgeous-Alexander on that. But the thought was, Kevin Durant's on the floor, the Rockets are going to get easier buckets. And I think that'll play out over the course of the season against teams not named the OKC Thunder. And it's game one, so that'll always be what we use to, in some ways, excuse what happened. But aren't the OKC Thunder one of the teams you have to beat? So the Rockets will grow as this season goes along. But it is something to take a look at. I don't know that the offense looks any smoother than it did last year. They're just super talented, and the way they play is going to put people at a disadvantage because of the height, their length, and their ability to use Steven Adams to just not, if he's not securing an offensive rebound, just mucking things up to give your other guys a chance to get an offensive rebound.
We saw that on the Şengün put back. I think that was in double overtime. The overtimes really kind of blend together.
Yeah, at this point. With two of them, and it's a late night.
There's one where they get it to Şengün in a late game. Yeah, it was 11 seconds left in double overtime. Or after he makes the second shot. It was the play right before the SGA foul. But yeah, you see, like, there's just a like black hole around Steven Adams that allows Şengün to get his own miss and put it up and in. So yeah, I think you saw that with it really just looks like a better version of last year's team because you get like extra points for just being better at the Durant / Jalen Green spot. And the Alperen Şengün spot looks way better, or maybe not way better, but it looks a lot better than what you saw. I mean, even in the playoff series against Golden State, I mean, Thompson, when he was out there, like, okay, looks pretty good. There's something here. And I think even Jabari Smith looks solid as well. So like the offense looks the same. It's just that they can actually like make the shots now or get the, you know, the extra rebound, extra pass to the open guy a little bit better. It's just the organization from that you get from Fred VanVleet or just like any real point guard, that to me is what you saw last night. It's just like it looks like last year when they didn't play with Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, Kevin Durant said he's not going to get to take the shot all the time. That's just not how it's going to go. And I don't think he's even demanding that it happens. But
Kevin Durant, you don't have to demand. I will demand it for you.
Yeah, you, I will demand you, it after for game you. One, you don't have to make it an no, issue no. publicly.
I understand. That's great teammate Kevin Durant.
But okay. For the rest of us.
Now, just us talking.
I would like a hierarchy that starts with Kevin Durant. And then if Albie's matched up against Alex Caruso or an Alex Caruso-sized player, that's fine.
Yeah, but, I'm good with that.
But I would demand that Reed Sheppard doesn't go one-on-one on anyone if Kevin Durant's on the floor. I would demand that. And even I'll take Amen, who at least when he's going to the basket, and he will generally have a size advantage if he's playing point guard at the time against against the other guy.
Either size or speed against whoever he's
going. Sometimes it'll be strength as well. I will take that, but I will demand a hierarchy.
Yeah.
It starts with Kevin Durant and flows down depending on the matchup.
I'm even okay with like 1A Kevin Durant, 1B Şengün. Like if you just want to go like, hey, especially in a game like last night.
Yeah, blue dorts on Kevin Durant and he's giving him issues because of the physicality.
You got to inbound the ball.
Yeah.
So like I think it was the last play of regulation where it was like, wow. Or no, it was the Şengün one where it was like, how do you not get the ball to Kevin Durant? And I'm like, well, they're trying to get the ball. Like, he's the first option on all the out-of-bounds plays. It's just that he has Lu Dort inside his jersey. So you only have 5 seconds to inbound the ball. So just throw it to Şengün, who has a 5-inch advantage on the guy who's he's facing. He's a good defender. He makes you work for it. Yeah. But, I mean, it is just, like, the science of throwing him the ball is easier because of the advantage he has versus Lu Dort in Katie's grill.
Yeah. So it doesn't work out in our favor. Jabari Smith takes the last shot, airballs it with a little time remaining, and the Rockets lose. They could have lost earlier than that. They were gifted extra time to go get a win. It was an obvious called timeout by Kevin Durant. It was not apparently acknowledged or noticed by the referees in time. The guy who won the game with his free throws, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, spoke on it, and as you might imagine, the Thunder were losing their minds because what are we doing here? There are three officials, six eyes, call the tech, we go win the game. They had to go win it a little bit later. Here's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the Kevin Durant non-timeout.
Kevin definitely called timeout about three times, verbally and physically with his hands. I think the refs just missed it. But that's life. You make mistakes in life, and you move on. Nothing too crazy. I turned the ball over a bunch tonight. Next possession, so same mentality for now. I don't think it's they ain't doing it on purpose or anything. It's just life, you know. You miss things, you make mistakes, and you move on.
He turned the ball over a bunch, three turnovers, not a bunch. For Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but way too much for him.
Get that in order.
Three out of their 11 turnovers. So percentage-wise, he's probably a little upset with that. They only turned the ball over 11 times. Rockets doubled that with 22. Certainly, while the Rockets out-rebounded them offensively, which would made up for it, and they got to the free throw line quite a bit, the Thunder took 7 more shots than the Rockets and 13 more threes. Nobody was good from three. Lu Dort had an awful night. Maybe the energy expended defending Kevin Durant affected his shot, but I was hoping he would take shots as that game kept going on.
I know Lu Dort's Canadian. This is the only reason he gets a pass for this, but how the hell is he not playing outside linebacker? Like, how is he not?
Because he's Canadian.
How is he not a nickelback for somebody or a nickel linebacker
because
for somebody?
It pays more to be a spotty three-point shooter and big-time defender than it does to play outside linebacker.
He's made $100 million already.
Unless
he would never get that, even if it was Fred Fred Warner.
Unless he was an elite pass rusher.
Yeah. No, I don't quite see that for him.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 220, so it'll be he's like...
I'm not the preeminent draft analyst, but just eyeball test.
Doesn't seem like he has the arms for it.
No.
doesn't have the body type, certainly doesn't suggest.
Now, Zion, three technique. I know he's from South Carolina. What the hell? What the hell, every high school coach in the state of South Carolina?
I'm sure they tried, and he's like, you know what? Nah, basketball's much easier.
No, I'd rather jump over white kids.
Yeah, and, you know, give the guaranteed money I'm going to get for not playing.
Yeah.
I won't get that
the
in football.
Money from Duke.
Yeah, well, that too. But also, the money I got from the Pelicans, I'm not getting that from the Saints for not playing football like I got from the Pelicans.
Yeah.
So that's why. It's an easier route. So I understand Lou Dort. And speaking of Canadian, if that didn't remind me that SGA is Canadian, I don't know what is. Like, I don't have a lot of memory of him speaking. I just don't listen to his commercials, and I don't really listen to him speak. I was like, oh, he's Canadian. Canadian as hell right there.
Oh, yeah. I noticed when he picked up the mic to address the team or to address the fans, like, between the ring ceremony and the start of the game, where he was like, so happy for our organization. And I was like, organization?
oh, you're from Toronto. I forgot about you.
I was going to say, that's what the captain says after they win the Stanley Cup. Like,
Did SGA avoid touching the Western Conference title trophy?
Yeah. He didn't touch it after winning.
Just to avoid.
I think SGA gave him way too much credit there. Maybe because he's Canadian.
He's a nice guy. That's what
they
we expect from him.
They didn't do it on purpose. They just made a mistake. I think they were like, Kevin, let's bail you out.
Yeah, we don't want to decide the game that way. But
first night on NBC.
But he'll force us to decide it by free throws anyway when he fouls you a little bit later.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you got
it. That was a legitimate. I mean, like.
That's a legitimate foul. I'm not complaining about
it. He was like, you know, just looking for the foul.
Because he was a little stuck.
Legit foul.
Kevin Durant was moving his feet. He was out in the perimeter. I don't think SGA is getting up a good shot if Kevin Durant doesn't foul him. But
and
he did foul
Shingun
him.
Shingun was in the neighborhood, too.
Yeah.
He had nothing.
He had nothing going, but he did have the pump fake, and it got Kevin Durant up in the air. He talked about it. Need to be more disciplined. So the Rockets go down for multiple reasons. I won't say Kevin Durant chief among them, but he did have a couple of big plays or big mistakes late that cost
missed
the Rockets.
Free throw.
Yeah. So he's not he wasn't the biggest of problems, but when it came down to it, he contributed quite a bit to the loss. All right, we'll go to break with that. Pena, I see you. You want to talk? I'm sure there's some Halloween costume you want to ask about again, maybe. We will be joined by Pena. You can follow him at 713-780-3776. We will get to the Texans, because DeMeco Ryans was available, and he talked to DJ Bieniemy of ESPN.com and ESPN just proper about the offensive coordinator. And surprisingly, he has come to a decision that won't give you the blood some of you want. Sorry, Sean's like, what's going to happen? No.
Why did I not get a notification?
Because he let it be known you're not going to get what you want in that regard. So
quit asking.
Yeah, at least for now. We'll at least read the quotes from DeMeco Ryans when we come back. But before we go to break, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Simply put, if you got a plumbing problem, go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You can't fix it. Why even try? You don't want to turn a small situation into a giant one because maybe there's a leak you think you can fix. You got the wrong tool, you messed something up, and now you got water all over your floor or in your walls. You don't want that because that's a major problem. That's going to cost major money. Avoid that scenario by checking in on the people at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Have them come out and fix your small problem before it becomes a big one. But if you do have a giant problem and you know it, and you know you're not prepared to fix it, they'll do that for you too. They'll fix it for you too. If it's a giant problem like maybe you need a repipe, you got an older home, and those old pipes are corroded, and you've got things you don't want in your water coming out, like when you turn on the tap and you got like rust in your pipes, or when you're trying to wash clothes, you'll notice the water isn't as clean as it should. They'll take care of that for you at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Check out all the services they provide at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And if you don't know what the problem is, you just know you have one, and you don't want to get charged for a diagnosis, you can call them and figure out what it is. They'll get you that free price quote. Call them, 281-488-6238, or go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I'm currently watching a video. I see you pinion, Eric. I'm currently watching a video that's going to help me avoid one of my biggest fears. Like, I always wonder if for some reason I fell to the bottom of a pool, how I would be able to swim out. Like, I've jumped off a diving board, and at least when I was a kid, I was taught you kind of will get pushed up, and then you do a little paddle, and you get back up. But I'm watching this guy show me how, if for whatever reason you're at the bottom, don't panic. And now I know. I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about now. He's probably 9 feet deep. He's way at the bottom. It's like a deep, deep pool.
Is he like at the bottom? At the bottom?
At the bottom. His feet were on the ground. Yeah.
Just jump. Jump and kick your legs.
That's what he, in some ways, is doing. I don't know if he would say just jump, but yeah.
I'm sure it's a longer video. I'm sure.
Yeah.
If I made the video and it was just jump and kick your legs, you wouldn't, you know, it would, that's it. That would be over. It'd be a 10-second video. It'd be a vine.
And it's... And he tells you not to panic, just like pull sideways and gravity and all the other stuff, whatever, will take care of itself, whatever, and push up, or at least the water will do it.
So next time, hey, if you're out at a quarry jumping off a...
If you're a member of the TV show Task and you're out of a quarry...
I won't ask if you're a dark heart or not. That doesn't matter to me at the quarry.
I don't care about that, actually.
I'm just drinking my Michelob Ultra and having a good time.
Mm-hmm. And if you so happen to be the wife of one of my proteges, I may or may not murder you if I feel like you're a snitch. I don't know. Am I giving away part of the plot? Sure.
I mean, it's not a huge part of the plot, but that is very much a spoiler.
Yes. For the show Task that just ended its run. Although, there may be a season two. Let's get to Pena, and then we'll get to Eric. What's up, Pena?
Yeah, what up, Darryl? Hey, man. I'm calling to see how do you like Cam Whitmore over 9.5 points for today's game since he finally made his starting role as a full-time player. And how interested are you in that new Predator movie coming out next month? Thank you. Have a great day.
Did you catch the second part of that?
How excited are you about the new Predator movie coming out?
I love a Predator movie.
Badlands, right?
I like Elle Fanning. She's playing the android, the backpack at some point when she loses her legs. I will be watching the Predator movie. They've done a good job with those,
as they say.
Yeah, they've done a good job with the Predator franchise in recent memory. They have Prey, that's on Hulu. That's a good one, the live-action movie. The most recent animated movie was good as well. So I'm in. I'm watching that. I did see that it won't be – you won't see any human blood. It'll be PG-13. You might see some androids dying and maybe a predator dying or an animal dying. And I'm sure some humans will die too. But I imagine it'll be at the hands of like whatever technological weapon, not just a blade. If the reports are true that it's PG-13.
I don't think the predator is going to be like mowing down people.
No, I don't believe that will be the case. So we'll see. That might turn some people off because people love an rated R Predator movie. But yeah, that's not going to get me to not watch it. So I'll watch that. As far as Cam Whitmore, is he starting for the Wizards?
So I don't think they've announced it. Obviously, their beat reporter just didn't ask their coach like ours did. I don't know if it was a beat reporter or if it was Vanessa. I know Vanessa tweeted it out. But the Wizards, at Wizards account, they tweeted out it like a it's game day thing. He's not one of the five who look like they would make up a starting lineup.
Then he's not probably not starting. Those. The likes of Bub Carrington and Bilal Koulibaly. And Chris Middleton is healthy, so another wing that'll be out there. Yeah, Cam.
Trey Johnson's taking all those shots.
Yeah, well, Trey will take the shots if he's allowed.
Definitely not passing.
Yeah, Cam. No, he's not. Cam Whitmore, one of those guys, too. He wouldn't pass either. So Cam Whitmore.
no one's passing.
Yeah, we talked about the Wizards last year. There's a bunch of guys who are just out there trying to hoop. They do have some veterans now, McCollum and Middleton, to be the grown-ups in the room. Will Cam Whitmore surpass, 9 points is what it is? He'll certainly try. Look, if Cam Whitmore plays 25 minutes, he's going to get up enough shots to surpass 9 minutes. The question for you, Pena, is he going to make them? Because, yes, he will have a bigger role just because the Wizards aren't about winning basketball games at this point. They have a lot of young players, a lot of wings that they're trying to figure out. And Cam Whitmore is now part of that. If he's the backup three or the one of the backup wings, I think they're going to be nights. But will it be this night?
Oh, it's Chris Middleton revenge game.
He's going up against the Bucks.
Yeah. Maybe Middleton takes all those shots. I don't know.
Pena, I've told you, this is the wrong show for that.
And also, like, a bench guy night one for a Wizards team. Like, sorry I wasn't locked in on what their coach's name, Brian Keefe, I think. What Brian Keefe's rotations
Give me a couple games before I can tell you.
Yeah, or give me Giannis. Like, give me a guy.
Yeah, who's going to play and play a lot. I don't know what Brian Keefe thinks of Cam Whitmore.
The guy's on the tweet from the team announcing that the game's today.
Yeah, give us a little bit of time.
CJ McCollum.
Yeah. The first day.
13 and a half.
It's the first day of the Cam Whitmore era in Washington. Let us see first, and then we can give you a real answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to give him something. I just don't have a real answer.
Wimbanyama against Flag. Give us that.
We know those guys are going to play heavy minutes.
They're on the poster.
You real sicko, Pena, with the Cam Whitmore stuff. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully, you win your bet no matter what side you're on.
What's the hotline that Lance gives out
for underdog? I don't know.
Pena, give it a listen next time.
Sometimes Lance does two underdogs a day. Maybe pay attention to that final piece of the puzzle. Let's go to Eric here. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How are y'all excited? Are y'all excited about Cooper Flagg and Victor Wembanyama? Yaya playing tonight? I think Cooper Flagg's going to win Rookie of the Year. Also, how do you feel about the Steven Jackson, Stephen A. Smith beef? And did you see Shady call out Sam Ossoff for hooking up with Joy Taylor? And now she has like a pay-per-view page. Your thoughts on that? I'll hang up and listen.
There's a lot there. Let's go first with Victor Wembanyama and Cooper Flagg. Am I excited? Well, I'm not built that way to get excited just because two guys who are stars are playing. I like good basketball. If the Spurs are good and the Mavericks are good later down the line, I'll be excited to watch. It's opening week. I'm excited to watch the games, but the specificness of Cooper Flagg versus Victor Wembanyama, no, I don't. That doesn't get me going.
I think I'm interested, not excited.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep track and see what's going on in that game.
I didn't have trouble sleeping last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Maverick fan. I'm not a Spurs fan. So no, those two playing against each other doesn't get me all excited.
Now, D'Angelo Russell reunited with Anthony Davis. Okay,
sure. If you want to.
Now I'm excited.
If you're a real sicko, gets you going.
What's his points, Pena?
It's on ESPN. It's the start of the season I watch. It's inventory for me to watch. Cleveland, New York, same thing. I'll watch that one too.
I won't have to watch Conference USA football.
Yeah. I have more options to spend my night. I mean, without it, I'd probably lock in on reading a book now that I start trying to read books again. But you got two title contenders, at least Eastern Conference contenders, to start the ESPN night. And then you've got the two teams with generational players they just drafted.
Yeah, two generational draft picks.
Yeah, in the last couple years.
They're both under 23.
Yes, and of course the Spurs have done some other things. The De'Aaron Fox thing started last year. Now they have a full offseason and training camp to get going, so we'll see what the Spurs look like there. And of course the Mavericks are still waiting on Kyrie's return. Anthony Davis is healthy for now. So we'll see how the Mavs get along with D'Angelo Russell being one of their primary ball handlers. And it'll be the Cooper Flagg and Anthony Davis show. So we have what we hope is good basketball tonight. We'll see how ESPN, I won't say responds, but NBC came off with flying colors. Everyone loved, for the most part, what they saw from that broadcast. We'll see if ESPN has changed the way they do things, or am I going to get Stephen A. Smith on the pregame talking about Lakers and Warriors from the night before?
No.
What?
It'll be talking about how much he hates LeBron. That's what he'll be talking
about. Well, see, the thing, he did that someplace else, so he can still try to get off his unbiased thoughts. He can pretend like he's unbiased, but he pretty much let it be known. He doesn't like him. So anything he says now about LeBron and the Lakers will be at least tinted or tainted, if you want to say, with, oh, we know you don't like him.
Yeah.
So the unbiasedness of journalism goes away there. Although he's not a journalist at this point anymore. He's a performer. I won't say he's a wrestler, show like a character like that, but he's just a performer now. I mean, I don't go to Stephen A. Smith for basketball content.
He's kind of the Paul Heyman of...
Yeah, he's a carnival barker.
Yeah, he's not even like a professional wrestler. He is the like manager of the professional wrestler.
He's a manager. He's the Bobby the Brain. He's a...
Mouth of the South.
He's that guy now at this point. That's what he is, and that's fine. It's been very lucrative for him, and he appears to be branching out into other avenues as well. If you missed it, he went on multiple podcasts in the last couple of days. I think he was on The Pivot. He was also with
He was with Carmelo.
Carmelo Anthony, where the LeBron stuff really got going. He talked about LeBron setting him up for their little showdown at the game. He felt like that was all a setup, and they had the cameras in the right spot to catch him. He felt like it was a conspiracy, and he talked about LeBron not doing it in a way that he would have thought proper. So that's out there for if you want to find it. But as far as basketball coverage is concerned, I'll go to Legler if I want someone from ESPN to talk basketball. So if he is on the coverage for their first night of the regular season, as far as Stephen A., I mean, I'll just skip over it. Just get me to the game. Yeah. Just get me to the game.
I'll wait until 15 minutes after the scheduled start time.
Yes, then the tune into the game.
Catch the tip.
Yes, because it won't. Now, he's a Knicks fan, so we'll get the Knicks rant about how he feels great about them. But I don't feel like there's going to be a lot of basketball stuff going on from 6:30 to 6:45 before the game starts. Excuse me, 5:45 to 6. No,
6:30.
6:15. Yeah. 6:15. 6 o'clock, 6:15. I don't feel like there'll be a lot of actual talk about the game that's coming up.
Yeah, no. I mean, if there is, it'll be like Carl Towns needs to prove that he's not a punk.
Yeah.
He needs to,
can Evan Mobley back
step up, it
up his defensive player of the year from last year? Stuff
is
like
he a
that.
Fraud?
Yeah.
That's what they'll do.
Yeah. Because Giannis is out there.
Yeah.
It'll be stuff like that. Yeah. All right. We'll go to a break with that. We'll come back with word from D'Amico Ryans on his OC. Monday night was not a shining example of progress for the Texans, particularly on that offense. For the OC, for the quarterback, for the O-line, a lot of them got, let's just say, less than passing grades. So we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on his OC and what's up next for the Texans. We'll do that in hour two.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.